Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Jolly Flicks Podcast. My name is Lisa, and thank you for joining us. Last week, I did our tiny decision maker for our movie that we are going to do this week, and the movie that was chosen was Jingle All the Way. So let's go ahead and just dive right into this sucker. Workaholic Howard Langston wants to make things up to his son Jamie and wife Liz. He promises to get Jamie the hottest toy of the season, Turbo Man, even though it's Christmas Eve and the toy is practically sold out. As Langston hunts down the elusive gift, he runs into mailman Myron, another father on the same quest. With the clock winding down, Langston's moral code is tested as he starts to learn the real meaning of Christmas. This movie is on Disney Plus right now, if anybody is wanting to go and watch it. It came out on November 16th, 1996. There's lucky number 16 again. And I was just super curious, so I went ahead and looked up, is the number 16 lucky? And it actually turns out to be a very strong lucky number. So if you're in the search of a number to give yourself some luck, apparently 16 is. And it's a sign of completion. So do you guys think, if I have any conspiracy theorists out there, that numerology has been a thing all these years and is what's really affecting the status of all these movies that are coming out on the November 16th, well, specifically Christmas movies that we've been talking about, but I'm sure there are so many other movies out there that are being released on dates like those. So, just a little fun fact for you all. It is rated PG and runs at an hour and 29 minutes. It is directed by Brian Levant. It was distributed by 20th Century Studios, and the box office hit $129.8 million. And it was produced by Michael Barnathan, Mark Radcliffe, and Chris Columbus. There's our favorite guy, favorite Christmas movie producer. So let's talk about our actors and actresses in this movie. We're going to start with Howard Langston, which is the iconic Arnold Schwarzenegger, former governor of California. He also is clearly big in Hollywood. And he starred in The Terminator, Predator, Commando, True Lies, Twins, Kindergarten Cop, more Terminator movies. And he has such a huge movie list. Go ahead and check it out, along with all of his politics. And he was known as a muscle man, as this picture that I'm looking at of him right now. We have Sinbad, who played Myron Larrabee, and he is a stand-up comedian and actor. He was in, obviously, Jingle All the Way, First Kid, The Sinbad Show, A Different World, Aliens for Breakfast. He also starred in The Good Burger, and he voiced a lot of actors as well. Next, we have Jake Lloyd as Jamie Langston. If we have any Star Wars fans out there, he plays in those movies. Unhook the Stars, Madison, Apollo 11, Virtual Obsession, and Race to Space. Next, we have Phil Hartman playing Ted Malton. As I like to call him, the sleazy neighbor. He was also in Sergeant Bilko, Pee-wee's Playhouse, The Brave Little Toaster. He has starred in Saturday Night Live a couple times. So I Married an Axe Murderer, The Three Amigos, House Guest, Kiki's Delivery Service. And for Liz Langston, we have Miss Rita Wilson. And in case you didn't know, she is married to Tom Hanks. She starred in The Runaway Bride, Jingle All the Way, My Big Fat Greek Wedding, Sleepless in Seattle, A Man Called Otto, Now and Then, It's Complicated, and her list also is huge. So if you want to go check her out, she is a very fantastic actress. So let's dive into my personal thoughts of this film. I apologize. I feel like I'm kind of all over the place during this recording tonight. So bear with me. I'm probably going to go off on different tangents. So my personal thoughts. Just starting straight off the bat, the movie is super capturing for young boys with the superhero start. They have Turbo Man on his, I think it was like a TV show that Jamie was watching. And so, you know, if your target audience is kids, which I would assume this is being PG, they're going to capture that target audience for sure, just from, you know, the obsession of boys and superheroes. You can totally tell that this movie was made in 1996 just based off of the technology that they're using and the style of the movie. So that's kind of fun that you can notice that. I talked about the sleazy neighbor earlier, Ted or Ned or whatever his name is. So sleazy. Okay. You could tell by the first scene we saw him in, you know, he thinks he's all that because he's a ladies' man and all the ladies are all over him. And Liz is just like looking over her shoulder and she's like, really? Like, why are you guys fawning over this guy? And you can tell by the, excuse my French, shit-eating grin that he's up to no good. He's not going to be that great of a character. Kind of the antagonist, almost. He's a real tryhard. Obviously, like, he's setting himself up to make himself look so good, and that's just, that's so unattractive in my opinion. So, like, why? And then also, why are you touching a married woman so much? Like, pause off, dude. I don't care if she's your neighbor or not and you've known her for years. Like, have some respect. Like, oh, so ridiculous. I could not handle that. And I wish I would have punched him earlier or threw the drink on him earlier than at the parade scene. I really like the dynamic of the father-son in this movie because that's what it's really geared towards. You know, you're seeing the father really try hard to impress the son and make sure that, you know, he has the best Christmas ever, which, you know, we don't see too often in Christmas movies. Actually, next week's we will, and I'll get to that at the end, but it might give it away a little bit. And he's really trying hard to be the son's hero, which I think is just absolutely heartwarming. This movie does a great job of showcasing the insanity of older Christmas. And what I mean by that is people going to the stores and making sure they're the first ones in line so they can get the correct gift and make sure they have plenty of time to get it. And then you have all those last minute shoppers that are trying to get in. And it's so chaotic. I felt like this entire movie was chaotic. Side note. But it's just, you know, we don't see that kind of Christmas nowadays because we have the internet and you can get it from so many different places just on your doorstep like that. So it's kind of interesting seeing how that is or how that was back in the olden days. And I will kind of touch base about that in my Frosty's 5 Fun Facts. So again, I think this movie is super chaotic. For me, it was hard to enjoy it just because of how much was going on. Like, there's a lot of action. It wasn't really slow, and we don't see that typically in a lot of Christmas movies. Like, a lot of Christmas movies are slower, more enjoyable, have the more nostalgic feeling, and I felt like this one didn't, which probably makes it stand out more and why people love it so much. Also, side note, Mom, Liz, what are you doing? Okay, I get it. You know, last week I talked about how moms do everything for Christmas, but, you know, moms are also the ones that, like, really help make that Christmas magic happen. And so she's putting all of this on her working husband. Let's talk about that for a second. At the beginning of the movie, you see how busy he is and being the top of his job, and she's expecting him to go and get a gift, which I get, like, that's not asking a lot, but it seems like it's his busy time of the year too. So why wouldn't you just go get it yourself and say, hey, how about you just decorate the house for me? Because obviously the next door neighbor did it for him because obviously he hasn't had time for it. So, I don't know. Just my thoughts on it a little bit. And some of you may disagree with me, and that's totally fine. But Liz, come on. Let's put a little bit more effort rather than just decorating cookies and baking and, you know, do that with your kid, or do that as a whole family time thing. Like, enjoy it. Don't make it seem like a chore, I guess is how I should say it. I totally have been forgetting to do my favorite scene the last couple episodes, so I'm bringing it back. I would say my favorite scene in this movie is when Jamie recites the entire Turbo Man action figure commercial to his dad. You know, he's like, with all the talk, with the different languages, and he says, "It's Turbo time." Like, I thought that was super cute that he just did it word for word, and he was like, "Batteries not included in pack and shipping," whatever it is. Super cute. Loved it. Favorite scene. And now let's dive into Frosty's 5 fun facts. This is kind of what I was talking about earlier with the insanity of Older Christmas. This story is based off of the shopping frenzy of the Cabbage Patch dolls in the 1980s. But it actually mimicked the sales instead of the Tickle Me Elmo in 1996. So when this movie came out, Tickle Me Elmo came out, and it was chaotic trying to get that dang toy. But it's interesting because, you know, clearly they wrote it based off of a previous toy that was always being out of stock, and you needed to be on it like right away. And I think also it was not only the Tickle Me Elmo, but also I think it was the director or the producer and his shopping frenzy trying to find his kid a Power Ranger figure or something like that. That's when that started becoming popular too. So I thought that was pretty interesting. It's based off of those. And I mean, what a great story to be able to write into a movie about. Sinbad was not the first choice for Mehron. If I'm being 100% honest, I feel like he just doesn't fit into the movie. And I don't really know how to explain myself in that way, but I feel like he doesn't fit with Arnold Schwarzenegger, and they could have found someone maybe a little bit better that would have meshed well. I don't know. Again, you guys probably think they work great together as a dynamic duo. However, I think they could have done someone else. Joe Pesci was actually supposed to be in this movie, and you know, he would have been the antagonist again. He would have been the bad guy in the movie. And the only reason why they didn't choose him is because of his height. So that's why they switched it and they tried finding someone else. Because if we know, Arnold Schwarzenegger is a big man. And if any of you has seen Twins, him and Danny DeVito are twins in that movie. And obviously he's probably just as short, if not shorter, than Joe Pesci. So, you know, yeah, also interesting. So speaking of Arnold Schwarzenegger, he was paid $20 million out of the $75 million budget. Like, that is a little insane if you ask me, but you know, go him. He obviously he's the one that made the movie, and he deserves to be compensated. Also, the parade. So a lot of this movie was filmed in Minnesota at the Mall of America and other areas around there. But they filmed the parade back in LA, and it took them more than 3 weeks to film. So, you know, I mean, the parade is a big part of the ending of the movie, so I understand why it took so long to film, but 3 weeks is insane. Like, I can maybe see like a week, 2 weeks, but also how can you get all the frames to look the same with each other? Unless they just did, okay, we're going to do the first like couple minutes of everybody walking through on one day. And then, you know, obviously the action portions probably had to have a couple takes each scene. So again, cinematography is amazing because they can really mesh these together without anybody noticing. And lastly, that Turbo Man costume that Arnold wore in the parade, and then the other actor wore for the show portion at the beginning of the movie was made with a body mold and had a cooling system inside of it because it was just so hot and so thick. So obviously that's pretty cool because when you're at Disneyland, I think they do have fans and cooling systems, but I know for a period of time they really didn't. And I would assume that's for any costumes out there, you know, at Universal Studios or even in the movies or TV shows, like if people are wearing full on coverings or, I mean, I guess the mask didn't cover the face at all, but the inside, I couldn't imagine how hot and just imagine your body just being trapped in there. That's just gross. All right, let's get into our tinsel time. So just based off of tinsel time, I know that everybody else has a strong opinion about this movie aside from mine. And they're all positive. So I know I might have some disagreeers out there this week. So the first one said that's a favorite in my house. One of the best movies. It's a cute movie and action packed in some scenes, which yeah, again, I think the action is what really takes over this Christmas movie rather than the nostalgic feeling. One of my all-time favorites, so much nostalgia of childhood. Yeah, I could see that. If this comment I remember was actually from a male friend of mine. So, you know, back to that whole thing. It's about the superheroes and the father and son relationship. And it's, I mean, it's more male-based movie, I believe, than female-based. And we don't really see that often. So it's really unique in that aspect. Loved this movie as a kid and still find it pretty funny. Yes, there are definitely some funny parts. And, you know, again, that whole kid aspect, it's really reaching towards everybody who wanted to be a superhero when they were younger. And the last person just said, love this movie with 2 exclamation marks. So thank you all for chiming into tinsel time. And yeah, I mean, again, I could see why it is people's favorite movie. It's just, it's something different. It is definitely something different. All right, we are into our Santa's scale now. So I'm going to give this movie, Jingle All the Way, a 7 out of 10. Again, it's not my favorite, although I will agree that it is enjoyable. I wish it just wasn't super chaotic, you know, with all the shopping and baking and the parade. Everything is happening in one day. I mean, the beginning of the movie, obviously, it was Christmas Eve Eve, but everything else was happening on Christmas Eve. And for me, I am a huge time person. So I don't know. It's just, it was a lot going on in a less than 24 hour period. Yeah, I think I'm good off that. It's not your typical relaxing Christmas movie. I did love seeing a father scramble over Christmas trying to figure it out. Good for you, Pops. And it was super sweet seeing the sacrifices that the dad did go through to get this toy. You know, he went to a couple stores, you know, he followed some scamming Santas, and you know, went to the radio station and then joined the parade. It's just, you know, and I do have to say, I loved at the end of the movie, the kid, Jamie, going and giving that action figure to Mehron, because it's very unique just seeing a father really, you know, try hard for his son. That always tugs at my heartstrings. And again, there's little to no nostalgia in this movie. Maybe at the very end when, you know, the son's like, oh my gosh, dad, you're Turbo Man. I don't need an action figure. I have the real thing. So I, you know, that is super sweet. So I could bump it up to a 7.5 if I was feeling nice, but I'm keeping it at a 7 because of the sleazy neighbor. So that's our show for tonight and or today, whatever time of day you're listening this to this. I had a poll out for Disney-based Christmas movies. So it was between The Nightmare Before Christmas, The Santa Claus, Mickey's Once Upon a Christmas, and I cannot remember the other one off the top of my head, but it doesn't matter because it didn't win. The Santa Claus is going to be our next movie, and I am so excited for it. I know that's one that's always played at Christmas time, so I'm sure a lot of you know it. If you would like to watch the movie before my podcast comes out for the review, please do so. It is on Disney Plus. All right, you guys, thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.